Yeah, gone. Okay, but I, we're ready to continue in Perikazorek. Randaf Ayin Zayin Amit Beis. About 10 lines from the bottom of the page on Ayin Zayin Amit Beis. Who gave the Zalak Lagita Lidavisu? A fellow will get to his wife. Have a kaima b'chotzer, and she was standing. Apparently, we'll soon see. But it seems she was standing in a chotzer in some place, some courtyard. And other gita knuckled the pitzla. The get went fell on a piece of wood. It didn't fall on the ground, it fell on a piece of wood. I'm going to be honest. Chazina, let's examine this. You have an Abba Amis. Abba Amis is that piece of wood. It's 4 amas by 4 amas, and that's quite a big piece. It's a platform, 4 amas, and an amas about 1.5 feet. It's at least a 6 by 6. It's quite a big platform. Yes, it's 4 amas by 4 amas. If that piece of wood is big, it's 4 by 4. 4 by 4. Polikla reshusa lenafsh. It's considered to be a separate domain. And if not, it's one domain with the ground. So if that piece of wood is very large, 4 by 4 amos, it's
double your desk.
Okay, it's quite a big piece of wood. We'd call it a nice size platform. Then it's a separate domain. And if not, it's the same domain as the ground. So far, this whole thing is riddled, because we don't know what exactly is going on. So the Gemara explains this story. The Mayaskina, what are we referring to? Ilema b'chotza the dog. If we're talking about that this is her courtyard, can have a da'adam, that's my hobby. So what difference does it make if the piece of wood in her courtyard is a 4 square piece of wood? The courtyard belongs to her, presumably it's fenced. It's protected. It's a chotzer mishtamera, so I don't care if she has wood in the courtyard or whatever it is. Everything there belongs to her. So what's the issue? Why are we concerned how big the piece of wood was? Ela b'chotzer today. You're talking about that it's his courtyard. He threw a get for his wife into his own backyard. So kilo haba abba amas ma'avi. So he's saying, if it's less than 4 amas, it's different than if it's more than 4 amas. Why? Everything belongs to him. He never gave it to her. He gave it to himself. So what does the 4 amas have to do with anything? So the Gemara answers like this. We have to say, lo tzricha, we have to explain it, to Ushla Mokum. The husband lent to his wife a certain section. He told her like this, I'm going to give you the get, and it's in my, I'm going to put it into my backyard. I'm lending you my backyard. I don't know, for the purpose of the get, or in general, I'm letting you put your things in my backyard. He gives her a sort of a kinyan. So therefore, like this. Chad makom mushli inshi. Trei makomos lo mushli inshi. When a person gives out the use of his backyard, he's really giving out one spot or one place. Two places, no. So if in his backyard he has, let's say his backyard is, 10 by 10 square amos. And in the backyard, he has sort of like a little, this platform, like a patio area, which is a piece of wood, like a porch. But it's in the backyard, it's like a sort of like a porch. Maybe it has some kind of a rooftop to protect it from the rain or the sun, like a shade, and there's a platform there. So he told his wife, I'm giving you the use of my backyard. So he's giving her a kinyan. So we say, and the person, now his backyard technically really is two different things. It's the plain ground, the grass, you run around, you play ball there, you put a beach chair there, and you sun yourself. So that's one kind of use. And then this platform, this patio, is something else. It's in the shade. Maybe you make a picnic over there, or something else. But they do different things. So when a person lends or gives his wife the use of his backyard, we say he's giving her only one area to use. He's not giving two areas. So therefore, we say he's giving her the use of the grass and the ground area, but the platform area, which is so, such a big area, 4x4 amos, it's considered to be a separate entity in the back, and you can't assume that because he lets her use the grass, he's letting her have a kinyan on the patio. Let's say he would have a swimming pool in the back. So he's giving her the use of the grass, doesn't mean he's giving her the use of the swimming pool. So whenever you have a completely different area in the back, in that chotzer, which is, has a different kind of a use, unless he spelled it out, you can use every spot in the back. But if he says, I'm giving you the back, it means one area. And let's say the biggest area there is the grass, so we say, he's giving her the grass, he's not giving her the patio. And so if he threw the get, and the get landed on the patio, she's not mugureshes, because it's considered to be not her place, it belongs to her husband.
Outside
the patio, which she gave him her get. He gave her everywhere but the patio. Right. Okay, so he puts the get outside the patio, but when he carries it on the patio, we consider that. That's a question we'll see later on in the Peirik. A get which may be not stationary in the place. There's winds, it's still moving around. That's the Gemara discusses later on. Right now, we're talking about it. Within the backyard, how much of the backyard has he given to his wife? So if there are two different areas in the back, in that chaser, one is grassy, one is a platform slash porch patio, so we assume he's giving her the basic area, which is the grass. He's not giving her the porch patio. The get winds up on the porch patio, she's not mugureshes. If the get winds up on the grass, she is mugureshes. Because we say a person, when he tells someone else, you can use my property, he, without spelling it out, we assume he means basic part of the property, but not more, not different areas. So only one area, one basic area is being given. So in this case, it would be the grassy area, and not the patio porch area. That's a different location. He should have said he's giving her that area too. By not mentioning that, we say that's not part of the license, and therefore she can't use that for the guest. Then he says another thing. The lower moron, this statement which we made, that if the patio porch is 4x4, it's not part of the gift. That's only said the low gavoa sola. If the porch patio is not 10 tfachim above the ground, it's not on stilts, of a gavoa sola. But let's say it's a porch patio which is 10 tfachim above the ground. In other words, let's say from the house, you walk out onto the porch which is on poles. It's above the ground. And it's 10 tfachim. A tefach is about 3 inches. Let's say 30 inches. That's 2.5 feet above the ground.
Isn't a tefach usually considered 4 inches?
No, it's 3 or 4. Okay. So let's say it's 3 feet. 3 feet 30, it's a machlokes, you know, you say, you make a machitza 10 shachim high, is it 36 inches, 42 inches, 30 inches? So the different opinions, how big a tefach is. Anywhere from 30 to 40, between 3 and 4.5 inches, different opinions. Because they were to build a machitza and a shul, you want to have at least 10 shachim between the men and the women, so there's a, back in the 50s, there was a huge argument between the different rabbis. Rabbi Soloveitchik was lenient, and the Satmar Rebbe was very machmir. He said 60 inches. He wanted to have a 60 inches for the 10 tefachim. And I think the Moshe Feinstein came out with 42 or 46, somewhere in between. So in any event, it's between 3 and 5 inches, let's say. So if my porch patio is this high above the ground, it doesn't have to be so big. It could be a small porch patio. He's also not giving that away, because since it's above the ground, it's not part of what he's giving his wife. Yes?
Yeah, but where does the custom have women on like an upper level?
That's for the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, it says that they built a balcony for the women. So that everybody has to accept, because it was in the Beis HaMikdash. So once you have a balcony, that's fine. But if it's on the same level, you have to build a machitza, a wall, which is a barrier of some kind, 10 tefachim. So how much is a tefach? That became an issue back in the 50s between this and Rabbanim. Back in this Gemara here, it says, if a husband lends his wife or gives his wife his backyard and says you can use it, and then he goes to get this, so it's really her property, he gave it to her, for temporarily, basically to use for the getting the get, to make it her property, so we say he's only giving her basic property, he's not giving her every single thing. So if the property is basically, say, grass and so on, he's not giving her a platform in there which is 4x4 amos. But if it's even smaller than that, but it's elevated by 10 tefachim, it's a back porch, then also he's not giving it. It could be a small porch, but porch is not grass, so it's not considered, it's a separate area, we don't say he's giving it. That's what the Gemara says. If it's 10 tefachim high, even if it's not so wide and big, it's 4 amos, it's also not being given to his wife. Unless he said, I'm giving you the porch too, but if he just says, you can use my chatzer for the get, he doesn't mean to use the porch. He means he should use the yard with the grass, and that's what she should use. But if there's a porch on poles, even if it's a small porch, it's not given. Now, if it's not on poles, it's on the ground, this platform, and it depends how big it is. If it's 4x4, amos, it's very big, then he's not giving away. But if it's smaller, he will give it away.
Rebbe?
Yes.
What if it goes under the porch?
We'll soon see. Very, that's a good point. The lower moron, and the less l'shem levai. Also, this whole thing is if it doesn't have a certain name. Avot Isla Shem Levi, but if it has a certain name, a different name. Now, I don't remember my English literature. But the English, they love in the backyard to build all kinds of things. So what happens, what's this thing called? This round thing in the back? Huh?
Gazebo?
Yeah, G-O-Z-E-B-O, how do you spell that?
It's a G-A-Z-E-B-O.
So it's a built thing which has maybe a little wall, or maybe just a few rocks, nice stones, and maybe it has a cover over it.
Canopy.
A little canopy.
Usually always have like some kind of cover.
Yeah, so now that would have a name. As I say, I don't recall my English literature to remember the name. But you say it's gazebo, if that's what it is. So it could be very small. It could be less than 4 amos. It doesn't have to be on stilts. But because it has a Shem Levi, it has a certain name to it. So therefore we say he's not giving that to her. He's giving her his backyard. He's not giving her the gazebo. I forgot the logo of Asarot. Even if it's not on poles, 10 tefachim high, amos, even if it doesn't have a 4 amos length and width, since it has its own separate name, so therefore it's not being given in the gift of the chatzah. Okay. It really is amazing how the Gemara gets into all of these very detailed problems. The person gives a backyard to his wife. How much of the backyard is he actually giving away? Okay, we go on to the next Gemara. Aval hu ima b'mita. So what it said in the Mishnah, afilu hu ima b'mita. The Mishnah said, back on Ayin Zayin, it said, Zalkalo b'soch beito b'soch hatzeiro, afilu hu ima b'mita ena megureshet. If he gave her the get, it was his house, even if she's living in the house, she has her, she sleeps on a certain bed in the house. So, but the fact that it's his house, so it's not giving her a get, because you have to give the get into her property. The house belongs to him. Okay, she's a very, she's an important person, she's his wife, now she's becoming not so important because he's trying to divorce her. But it's his house, so even if she's living there and she has a bed, it doesn't mean that she has any property here. So if you put the get into the house, it doesn't work. But the Mishnah says, even if she's in the bed, so that already opens up a sort of a question. Does a wife have a kinyan in her bed? Let's say it's his house, but she has a bed. She's been sleeping in this bed for the last 20 years. And he puts the get into her bed. Is that her property, the bed? Or the bed also belongs to him? He bought it. He bought the house. He paid for every single thing in the house, including her bed, every chair. He paid. So it's basically all his property. But she's been sleeping in this bed. Do we say that the average husband, when he gives his wife the right to sleep in a certain bed, is being makna that bed to her? So now the bed belongs to her, now he can put the get there. Well, no, the bed still belongs to him. He's letting her use it, but it's his bed. Then if he puts the get, she's not going to be divorced because the bed belongs to him. So the Mishnah says, even if she's in the bed, it's no good. It's no good. That's what the Mishnah says. Yes.
But could he like try to do the retroactive as of right now, this bed is really formally yours, like your ownership of it with you?
If he can say so. But he didn't say anything. He just took the get and put it in her bed. So did he give it to her or not? And who owns the bed? So the Mishnah just said, even if she has a bed, it's no good. So it's not so clear what the Mishnah is trying to say. Even if she's sleeping in a bed. What is the Mishnah actually trying to say? That the bed belongs to him? Or what exactly is the Mishnah trying to say? Let's see what it says in the Gemara. Amar Rava. Rava says, Lo shanu ela b'mita shalo. The Mishnah is talking about his bed. His bed. Because the language of the Mishnah is, Afilu hu ima b'mita. The husband is with her in the bed. It means it's his bed. That's how Rava reads the Mishnah. In his bed. If she happens to be sleeping in his bed, and he puts the get onto that bed, not to her hands, because obviously the nasan v'yada will work. He didn't put it in her hand. He put it on the bed. When she was sleeping in his bed, it's no good. Aval v'mita shalam gureshes. Rava says, if it would be her bed, it would work. So what we're saying is that the average husband, when he buys a bed, pays for it, puts it into the bedroom, and tells his wife, this is your bed, he's not just letting her be a guest in the bed which belongs to him, he's actually giving her the bed. You've never said it, but the assumption is there's such a thing as her bed in his house. So he's giving it to her, so then he can use her bed for the guest, would be Mugureshin, because it's her property. But when the Mishnah says putting it into the bed is no good, it's his bed, and she happened to be sleeping in his bed, that's no good, because it's his bed. That's how he reads the Mishnah, it's very interesting. Tanya Mahachi, the Braisa, same thing, the Beleza Omer, B'mita Shalom, Eina Mugureshin. his bed is not megureshes. The mita shelah, putting it into her bed, megureshes. Now this is really very interesting. It means even if a husband paid for the bed, but halacha assumes that if he lets his wife have one bed, he's being machnet to her. When she used it the first time, it now becomes her bed. She has a kinyan in the bed. I wonder how far that goes. Probably, certainly for clothing, I'm sure any clothing he buys also belongs to her.
Probably we know that by
terms
of during certain periods of the month, a man is not allowed to sit on his wife's bed or have any contact with his wife's bed.
That may not have to do with the kinyan. That might just be if she used a certain bed, he shouldn't sit on that bed because of the din of staying away from a nidah. Doesn't necessarily mean the bed belongs to her. The question is, does it belong to her? Because he bought it. The Gemara is saying a big chiddush that it does belong to her. When he gives his wife the bed, now let's say she has a chair that she sits all the time at supper. Does the chair belong to her? That the Gemara doesn't discuss. I don't know. The Gemara says a bed, yes. What about a chair?
In some houses, yes.
Anything which is
anything. It would make sense that anything that she uses and it's called, I would say, if the people in the house call it mommy's bed, mommy's chair. Now, what about cars? You know, you can really expand the Gemara to a lot of different questions. Let's say it's a two-car family. He drives one car and she drives the other car. Meanwhile, he paid for the cars. So we also say it's her car because it's called mommy's car. So the Gemara says, the Gemara talks about a bed. Would you extend it to cars? So it's a very interesting question. It opens up a lot of issues. Yes?
I mean, I may be horribly wrong or maybe I misinterpreted something somebody once said, but isn't it when you're married,
I believe I heard that even in parnassa that a woman makes technically belongs to, that we spoke about last week. I gave a two-hour sheer speech tirade about how you share the economics of being married, but that's a different thing. But we're talking about here the reverse direction. The husband bought and paid for certain furniture, does that furniture become his wife because we assume he's giving it to her?
But doesn't that extend to the property that they have and technically belongs to him, except for whatever she originally...
That's other property, but this is personal use property. This is property which the husband is giving her for her own private personal use. It's a different story. It's nothing to do with the general rules of financial relations between husband and wife. That's talking about non-personal property, wages, investments, real estate, that we discussed one day. But here we're talking about personal use property. If the husband actually buys property and then he gives it to his wife for her personal use, does that mean he's given it to her or not? I mean, we can never spell it out. I know, I've been married 30 plus years, I think it's maybe close to 40. And the truth is, I have never actually told my wife, this bed, this chair, this car belongs to you. I've never really even thought about it. This is the first time that's coming up in my mind, this Gemara. Really, what things have I given to her? And what things I'm letting her use, but they belong to me? So the Gemara is very important that the bed, for sure, you're giving away to your wife. What about a car? Doesn't say.
Rebbe?
What about like a towel? That like you have two towels, his and hers, written on it. So like it's assumed.
Thank you. There's obviously, it'll be a shayla in many different situations. If the Gemara is opening up a tremendous door by saying there is at least one thing that even though never said, it's as if it was said. Her bed has been given by him to her, even if he never said it. is assumed that that's what Halacha says, the average husband is giving his wife her bread. Now, we don't know, what would you say about many other things? How, cars?
Yes. Even someone says, you know, Masha comes to Isha, comes back, there's still different levels of Kinyan, so it's still assumed, I mean, I think, like, you know, if this is hers or recognizes hers, it might be a weaker Kinyan, but it's still some sort of Kinyan or some Kuzaka there or something, you know.
Well, the Gemara here says it's hers for the get. We learned earlier that to have a piece of property and use it for the get has to be 100% hers. If he has a shutfis in that property, it's no good for the get. So the Gemara is saying that her bed is a proper chutzah. It means that the husband has zero bialis in the bed. Whatever the regular marriage back and forth financial situation is, he has some kinyanim by her and she has by him, which creates some shutfis, does not apply to her bed, because if there is any level of shutfis, it's possible for get, as we learned earlier Gemara.
Right,
it has to be that the bed is totally hers, 100%. So the Gemara is saying, yes, her bed, even though he bought it, never said that he's giving it to her, is definitely 100% hers. Now, if you go away into other items, it's going to be a shiloh. You have to see what the rabbis and the poskim say. Towels, cars. I feel that clothing, for sure, you would say is like a bed. Just like heat. The assumption is, if a husband pays for a bed for his wife, it's a gift. I would say, if he lets her use his credit card and go to Lohmann's and buy an outfit, it's a gift. It's hers. Of course, it's a personal item. I think it's just his personal clothing. That's my opinion. But I'm not your last posting. A car, I'm not so sure. If he has a car and he says, honey, go buy a car for yourself, and she goes and buys the car using his credit card, that means it's a gift. I'm not so sure, just because it's so much more expensive. That's really what, and I'm thinking about it, because maybe there's a limit here on expenses, you know, because a bed, how much does a bed cost? $2,000, $2,500, a car is $50,000. I assume a husband is giving his wife a $50,000 car because he lets her drive it and use his credit card. He pays the payments. I mean, I don't really. It's a good child, maybe, since it's fundamentally exclusively for her use, because he has his own car. Then it's a gift.
What is to drive it? It's his.
Huh?
It's joint property.
Right. You are telling me an accountant. I'm talking Gemara Halacha.
No,
it has nothing to do with being an accountant.
No, the car is usually issued under one name. No.
You could say that too. Beds are more dedicated to each person.
Yeah, beds in this case definitely.
But not a car. The bed is more exclusively one than the car. Okay, we have to see. Maybe in a certain family, really the wife uses the car 99.9% of the time, and the husband uses the other car. I mean, maybe there will be a difference. Anyway, that's a very interesting question. So anyway, the Gemara says that when did the Mishnah say that putting the get into the bed does not work, it's his bed. She happened to be sleeping in his bed. Still doesn't work. But if it would be her bed, it would work. Good. Now the Gemara has a very interesting question. The Mita Shalom Gureshes. The Gemara says, the Mita Shalom Gureshes. You're saying in her bed it works? Kalev shel kot lokeach b'shus mochehu shamet mina kalev shel lokeach b'shus moche kona lokeach. This is a very interesting question. If there's a moche and a lokeach, a giver and a receiver, and the receiver has a keli which belongs to him, and he's in the b'shus of the moche, let's say I walk in to your house and I'm holding this cup and I put the cup down, so it's basically in your property. I put it in your property down, but this cup belongs to me, and you say to me, you know what, I'm going to give you this recorder as a gift. So, and then you go take the recorder and you put it into my cup. Is my cup is a chatzer, it's my property, the recorder is in the cup, but meanwhile my chatzer is located on the giver's chatzer, which is below. So when we say chatzer is kone, what about a chatzer in a chatzer? The chatzer of the lokeach, his cup, is sitting in the reshus of the mocher. Is that also kinyan chatzer? So if we're going to say, the Gemara says, that the wife's bed, we're granting it's her bed, and the husband puts the get into her bed, so her bed is her chatzer, it's kona the get. But the bed is certainly sitting in his house. It's his house. It might be her bed, but he never gave her the house. The house belongs to him. So we see from this that the chatzer of a lokeach, situated in the reshus of the mocher, is kona for the lokeach. So the Gemara answers, lo tzricha. The Gevel Asara, the bed is standing on poles, and the bed is 10 tfachim above the ground. So it could be that if the reshus of the lokeach is literally on the ground of the mocher, it does not work. But if it's in the airspace, the avir of the chatzah of the mocher, it will work. So he's putting it on her mattress. Her mattress, the Gemara says, is on a bed which is elevated off the ground. It would be on the ground, sitting on the ground, you're right, because of a shus of a lokeach, mamish on the ground of the chatzah of the mocher may not work. But if it's in the airspace of the mocher, it's up on poles, so maybe it's in the avir. Avir maybe does work. So you see in this Gemara that there's two kinds of chatzah. There's a chatzah which is the karka, the fundamental terra firma of the chatzah, and then there's avir, there's airspace of a chatzah. When I have a problem of a reshus of a lokeach inside the reshus of the mocher, does it work or not? That's only when the lokeach's reshus is in the karka of the chatzah of the mocher. If her bed would be on the ground, would be a real issue. Maybe it does not work because it's butter, his chatzah. It's on the ground of his house. But if it's in the airspace, it's on poles, then it does work. You see that the avir of a chatzah is not as, I don't know, overwhelming or dominating or powerful like the karka of the chatzah. The karka of the chatzah is much more strong. It can eliminate another chatzah. So if my cup is sitting on the ground, it's no good. But if it's in the air, it might work. That's what he says. Gevurah Asara. So he says, Rikamakam Kari. But what, how can you ignore the poles? The bed is standing on poles. Those poles are on the ground. Let that nullify it. Gemara says, Amakam Kari, the Kati Inchi. People don't care about a few poles. So when do I say that a chaser, terra firma, karka, sort of eliminates another chaser from someone else, from taking a chalos, taking a certain area up and to itself, that's when it's on the kak itself. But if it's in the avir, even though it's on poles, and those poles are in the karka, it's not, that's not such a big deal. People don't care about that, and therefore we say that the bed, which is standing on poles, is a reshus b'snei asmo. It carves out in the airspace of the house a separate domain for the wife. It's her domain. It's her reshus. It's her chaser. She can be use it as a kinyan. But if the bed would be on the floor, it would not work, because the floor of the husband is the karka of his chaser. The karka of his chaser is so powerful that no one else's chaser can be chal within his karka. However, in the air of the house, it's on poles, it does work. Okay, all of this is completely new halachas, which until we learn the Gemara, we wouldn't know. But the Gemara is telling me very important dinim in terms of kinyan chaser. You have a chaser within a chaser. It's called the Tav of Kalim of Alokeach v'shus hamocher. So the Gemara says in the chilek, if it's on the karka, the kelim of the lokeach will not work. If it's in the avir, the kelim of the lokeach will work. So her bed, if it's lying on the ground, will not work. If it's on stilts, on poles, it will work for her kinyan. Okay, good. Then the end of the Mishnah says, "Lesoch cheka or lesoch kalasa is mugashes." If you put the get not into her hand, but you put it, b'cheika means on her chest, or kalasa means in her pocketbook, it works. So back to the same question. How can her pocketbook work? Hamai, kelev shalokech, b'shus mochahu. If her pocketbook is sitting on the ground in his house, or on the table in his house, that's again, it's a kelev shalokech in the reshus of the mocher. His chaser is much more powerful. It should eliminate her ability to use her pocketbook to make a kinyan. No, not that the pocketbook was on the ground in his house or on his table or on his chair. That would eliminate her kinyan, because the kelim of the rokeach and the reshus of a mocher don't work. She's holding the pocketbook. She's holding the pocketbook. It's hanging on her forearm. There's a strap. And he goes and puts the get into her pocketbook. So if the pocketbook is being held by the lokeach, that has a koach to create its own domain, its own chotzer for her. Because it's not being supported on the ground of the chotzer of him. It's being supported by her body. She's holding the pocketbook. It's being hanging on her hand. So therefore, that pocketbook has a chalos of a chotzer for her, because it's not being supported by his chotzer. If she puts the pocketbook down on the ground in his house or on a table in his house, obviously that will not work, because it's her keli inside his reshus, his butto. But if she's holding the keli, she's hanging on her, it does work. That's important to know. Shem ben Lakish Omer, Keshura, Aval Pisha'ena Tluya, is even if it's on the ground, but it's tied to her, even if she's not hanging, it also works. It's a chiddush. In other words, if her pocketbook is on the ground in his house, but she's holding, let's say it's on the ground, like this, but she's holding to the handle or the strap. The fact that she has physical control of the handle and the strap is enough of a control to declare it a separate chotzer, a separate reshus. Because if she would let go, it's just sitting in his house, then it's rebuttal to his chotzer. And if it's on her hand, hanging there, then it's certainly independent and it will work. But even if it's on the ground, but she's holding it, she's holding on to the strap, it's kashur, it's tied to her hand, it does work, because her hand, she can pull it, she can pick it up, so that itself creates an independent chaser for her. The fact that she has the power to pick up this pocketbook from the ground, and it's in her hand, it's tied to her hand, that itself gives it a koach to be an independent reshut for her, and therefore if you put the pocketbook, the get into the pocketbook at that point, when she's still attached to her goof, through a kesha, through a string, just wrapped around her hand or tied to her hand, so that's good enough.
What would
they say, pocketbook connected to her hand being miyado? Either it's hanging on her hand, and the next mandama says, not only if it's hanging, if it's just attached to her hand, to some kind of a knot, to some kind of an attachment, a chain, or a strap, that's also good enough. It could be on the ground, as long as it's attached to her hand, somehow it's considered independent, and it works. This is a question not of a shliach. This is her reshus. Her pocketbook is her reshus. But it's sitting in his reshus. And there's a problem if a little reshus is inside a big reshus, two different owners. The big reshus is mavasel, overwhelms the lower reshus independence, and it's considered to be null and void. But he says, if she has a string or a strap or a chain attached to this small reshus of hers, this pocketbook, she can pick it up any moment. So whatever's biyado, and if she picks it up, that we agree, it would become an independent entity because it's now hanging on her body. It's not sitting in his chaser. It's not on the ground. It's in the air, and she's holding it. That's for sure a separate chatzah for her. So that's teluya. The next mandama says, keshura afal pi she'ena teluya. The fact that it's attached to her guf and to her hand, even if it's not hanging, also makes it independent, a separate place.
Right.
Yeah.
Can we extend that to a car? If she's holding the keys or if she's sitting inside the car with a position on it?
Maybe. Yeah, in other words, if her car is parked in his property,
her car,
let's say it's really her car, she bought it, it's her car, so that's her car.
Parked in his garage,
so that would be possible.
He doesn't actually have the ability to just leave to go out.
And let's say it's open, the garage, and she has a key, so she could any second drive the car away, so it's like it might be equivalent to the Gemara's case of a pocketbook sitting in his reshus, but it's kosher, it's tied to her hand. She has the ability to move it at a moment's will. So here with the key to the car, she could any moment drive it out of the reshus. That would also be in the car situation to be independent, not dependent on his reshus. It's independent, and therefore it could be used for al chatzah. Good point. Very good.
You could make a kenyan by
Rishi's car. The car is hers. Right. The question is, she wants to use it as a chatzah. But if it's in someone else's chatzah, you can't, the Gemara says, because a keli of a lokeach, which is smaller, sitting in the kafka of the bigger chatzah of someone else, does not work. Because keli, it's batel in terms of hilchas chatzah. But if you can pull it away, it's biyadcha to pull away because there's a kesha, it's attached to your hand, it does work. So he wants to say, Moshe, that the same equivalence could be applied to a car sitting in someone else's chaser, but the driver of the car has the key. So he could drive away. Therefore, it's like a pocketbook which he's holding through a chain. So it makes sense. All kinds of different configurations here. Rav Ada ba'ava omer, kugon shehoisa kalasa munechas lo bein yechoser. Different terrors. Her pocketbook is sitting between her thighs. In other words, like this. She's sitting on the ground. You see from this Gemara that in those days, they didn't really sit on chairs. They're like in the Far East. They sit in the ground. So she's sitting on the ground in his house, squatting. Her legs are crisscrossed, and between her legs, which are crisscrossed, there's her pocketbook, and her pocketbook is on the ground. and he puts a get. Now, in this situation, we say a husband is giving his... When she sits down, it's getting back to what we said before about a bed or a chair. When she sits down, wherever she sits, for that time that she's sitting there, that piece of ground underneath is hers. And she's different than a plain guest. The guest comes into somebody's house and sits down. We don't say he's giving that guy the chair. But a wife, wherever the wife sits, there's a certain accommodation that the average husband is letting his wife be an owner of that spot. He can't come over to her and say, get out of here, you're sitting in my property. No, an average husband gives his wife a kinyan wherever she sits back. So therefore, if she has a pocketbook between her legs where she's sitting, so that particular spot is her spot. It's not a problem of a keli of a kona in the rishus of the mocha, because that spot where she is mamish hers, and therefore her pocketbook is not sitting in his property. It's sitting in her property because husbands give wives a kinyan in wherever they sit down. It's their place. This is considered to be the etiquette between husband and wife. So therefore, wherever she sits down, it's her makom. If she puts a pocketbook there, it's fine. So therefore, it works. Second, there's another teretz. Rav Meshashia Barav Dima, another pshat. How does a pocketbook work? Kagon Shahaya Bala Mocha Kolosos. The husband was in the business of selling pocketbooks. So therefore, his house is full of pocketbooks. Because he's, what do they call this, someone who sells pocketbooks?
A retailer?
No, it's a retailer. I mean, no, there's a certain word for these kinds of accessories. I see you guys never went shopping for your wife. I never did either, so I don't know what to say. There's a certain section in the store. Women's accessories, pocketbooks. What?
A
boutique? Not exactly. There's a certain word that they use, that the stores use for this. Anyway, that's his business. He's selling things for women. He's in the women accessory business. He sells pocketbooks, he sells jewelry, whatever personal things for women, scarves. So his house is basically a warehouse. Now she has a pocketbook and she puts it down someplace in the house. So the Gemara says a funny thing. Since his house is anyway full of these accessories, because that's his business, so wherever she puts her pocketbook down, he's making her have a kinyan in that spot. A normal person would be makpid. What's my wife putting her pocketbook on my living room table? What's my wife putting her pocketbook on my couch? That's the mentality of husbands. She should keep her pocketbook near her bed. She should keep her pocketbook in her closet. Why is she making my house such a mess, putting her pocketbook on the living room couch? So he's certainly not going to give her a kinyan in the couch to make keep her pocketbook there. He doesn't want it on the living room couch. She's not such a neat person. She's a sloppy. She drops her things all over the house. Pocketbook here, and her stockings are over there, and her scarf is over here. The husband's all upset about this. He's never going to let her do this. But what can he do? He married such a slob, and he's stuck with her. But never, he's not happy. But if he himself has the house full of pocketbooks, full of scarves, full of stockings, so that's his business, so then what does he care wherever she puts her stuff down that belongs to her? The Gemara says that if the husband's in the business, so wherever she puts her pocketbook down, he's makna to her because he also has pocketbooks lying all over the place. It just sounds like Gemara. Okay, anyway, so if he's a mecha kolosos, We say he's accommodating her. She can also put it down, and therefore you don't have a problem of a kinyan, of a mochez, a keli of a konen, the rishus of the mocher. That's normally where the mocher wouldn't want you to keep it. If I come into someone's house with my cup, I'm drinking coffee, and I come in someone's house and I put it down on his table, does he want me to keep it there? No! He's being a nice guy. He's not saying anything. But he wouldn't want me to keep it there, because, let's say, it's his living room. He's not giving me a kinyan. But his wife, if she every day comes home and she puts her pocketbook down on the living room table, it depends. If that living room table is always very neat and clean, he also doesn't want her to keep it there. He's machbid. Therefore, it's a keli of a kohen, a shus of a mochem, and that won't work. Because he himself has all kinds of stuff sitting on that living room table, pocketbooks and scarves and this. So she puts her stuff down too, so he's fine with him. So then if it's his wife, he's letting her have a kinyan, and therefore it'll be a chutzpah. Rabbi Yochanan in Omar, Rabbi Yochanan to the different shem. Malkum cheka kanulah. Clearly the Mishnah says that her own body belongs to her. She could be in the house, but if he puts the get on her body, she got it. Malkum kalosa kanulah. Listen, this is a pocketbook. Pocketbooks, women wear all the time. I can tell you, being married to a woman, something which I don't understand about women, but a married woman, 98% of the time, will walk out of the house and say, I've got to take my pocketbook. I say, what do you need the pocketbook for? You going shopping? No. Three people are in the house with keys. They're not going any place. Why do you need a pocketbook? That's the way it is. A woman walks out of the house, she has to have a pocketbook. It's like me wearing a yarmulke.
She has cosmetics.
Me wearing a... I don't know. We don't know what they have in there. They just open it up and start taking things out. Before you know it, they have a thousand things in this little pocketbook. They have jewelry and keys and cards and letters and bills and receipts. It's unbelievable what's going on inside a pocketbook. It's literally a walking warehouse. But why does she need it? We don't know. We're going to a wedding. What do you need a pocketbook at a wedding? That's how women go. We have a pocketbook. So the Gemara says a pocketbook is so much part of a woman that the husband knows that that's my wife. Wherever she goes with a pocketbook, and therefore, wherever she puts it down belongs to her. He's not masked. He's giving her a kinyan to put the pocketbook down any place in the house, because that's what a woman is. She walks around with a pocketbook. I wear a yarmulke. Some people wear a tie all the time. Some people wear a jacket, black hat, a kapata. Women wear pocketbooks. Therefore, wherever she goes, it's like her own body. That's what the Gemara says. So therefore, wherever she puts it down, it works. The husband's not masked. He's giving her full kinyan to put it down wherever she wants. It belongs to her. Okay. All of this is a little bit beyond us. We don't understand the psychology of women, the psychology of husbands, but that's what the Gemara says. That's this final statement. You don't have to go through that she has a chain, it's attached to her, who knows why it's different, she's sitting there, it's between her legs. No, wherever she puts it down, her husband lets her keep her pocketbook, because he knows a pocketbook is so important, so personal, he can't discuss it. She puts it, it's as if she's there. Therefore, it's her chotzer, it's not his chotzer, he's letting her use the place. It's amazing how the Gemara goes through all these details. Tanya na mahachi, it says also in the Braisa, Zorkolo l'tocheik or l'tochalosa, if he put the get into her personal body, or her pocketbook, or l'toch kol dover, shuka kalosa, anything which is like a pocketbook. And here there's no limit where the pocketbook is. Harezu mugureshes. She is divorced because husbands don't want to interfere with their wives' habits with pocketbooks, personal items. Wherever she puts it down is considered fine. It's a kinyan for her. There's no issue. Now, his friend is right for anything like a pocketbook. Kol davar shehu kikalosa. What else is there that women like to walk around with, which is so important to them that the husbands back off? Wherever she puts this thing down, it's hers, he's not going to touch it, it belongs to her, it's her spouse, it's her chaser, everything is fine. What else besides a pocketbook is so personal, so important for women that they have to have it wherever they go? La'asuyei taska the ochleba tamari. She has a little box, a purse, that in this box of purse is her chewing gum or her sucking candies. Don't start off with that. Wherever she goes, she has to have this box with her chewing gum, her sucking candies. In those days, it must have tamarim. They used to like to suck tamar is a date. So her personal snacks go into some kind of container. That also, it's like a pocketbook. Wherever she puts it, husbands say, fine, dandy, it's yours. I'm not touching it, it belongs to you. You can put it wherever you want. Fine, it's a kinyan. If he takes a get and puts it into that snack box of hers, she's mugureshes, because that box is 100% hers. Wherever she puts it, he's makna to her. Doesn't want to start up with his wife. She has full kinyan in the property to put her snack box or her pocketbook wherever she wants. Okay? Adka. It's a funny Gemara.